years ago, so they were about in their 40s or 50s, I guess. And we'd meet here and pray, and I was a young buck with dreams of joining MAF. And actually, Rob Taylor was here, too, who was an awesome MAF legend. So anyways, there's us. We do have children. They exist. They're just off with Jocelyn's parents up at Slave Lake at the trailer, probably swimming in the lake or tubing behind Grandpa's boat right now. So that's our family, and that's how we came to know Westlock and have been a part of this community from afar for the last 13, 15 years. Does this thing work?
It does, but we're going yet. Oh. And so for those who don't know, so we served in the Democratic Republic of Congo for 9 years, and we moved back to Congo, or back to Canada, in the lovely time of July 2020. but we served there where Nick was a pilot and the program manager of the program there, and I helped with hospitality, communication, and raising our kids. And we, about the end of or mid 2020, we were in a time of transition where we were coming to an end of our ministry there and looking to transition. And I had been doing my psychology degree online while we were overseas, and the MAF office in Canada offered me a role in learning and development, and we wanted to be in a place for our kids' middle years that was stable, so we're needing to decide on a place to be. So that's what brought us back to Canada. Oh, well, there we go.
It's working.
There we go.
If, as long as you see what we see, that's what we see. So yeah, MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship, like our Sparks kids learned, is an organization in about 30 countries around the world. And our Wycliffe friends here, we're neighbors with some of them over in Papua New Guinea. And we have about 130 airplanes. But what we wanted to talk to you about this morning is maybe what's more valuable than multi-million dollar airplanes is the network of people that we know all around the world and God's kingdom and how he makes that work. So part of that network we wanted to share is this is our home office team. Hey, we're both in the picture. I thought one of us was taking the picture.
I photoshopped
but
myself in.
She photoshopped herself in. That's the kind of stuff that you can do when you know how to work computers. That's fancy. That took me by surprise. This is our home office team we work with in Guelph, Ontario. So that's our new MAF base these days. And in the bottom left there is a guy who looks like he doesn't belong, Rui Falanga is a brother, well, a friend of mine, a brother in Christ, who works in Angola in our program over there. And so part of my job at the head office is in operations. And so Rui worked with the local church leaders in Angola, and we built ourselves a runway, which we'll tell you more stories about later. Now, I say we. I was just pulling the threads behind the strings. Rui was working with the church people there, and I'll tell you more about the volunteers. I've also been working alongside him building houses, again, not me physically building them, but running the projects to get houses built for MAF missionary pilots there. And so Rui was great to have him join our office for a week or two, do some training, and we went around and showed him Guelph and some of the Mennonite things from our area, which was fun.
So as a part of my role in the home office in Guelph, my job title officially has the great description of saying that I'm in charge of all learning and training opportunities for all of our domestic and international staff. That's pretty broad. So I do what I can. So a couple of the main things that I do is I do all of our missionary onboarding training. It's a great advantage that we're able to use the experience that we had overseas, the connections that we know and the people that we know to be able to train up new missionaries that are coming in. And also a mission that MAF loans me off to a couple times a year is Mission Prep. And this is an organization that helps transitioning missionaries who are either on home assignment, transitioning to a different program, or transitioning back to their home country. So this was our group in February. And we just had another review 2 weeks ago, right before we came to Alberta. I don't have our group picture from that. If you're wondering why there's a couple people turned around, that's because they serve in closed access countries, but they still wanted to be in the picture. And so a part of review is that everybody experiences transitions and different transitions in their life, and missionaries experience quite a few transitions that they go through, and we give them all an opportunity to tell their story in a variety of different ways as we help them walk through the transition process. So, as I think everybody is a part of transitions in their life, this doesn't go down. It's fine. Don't worry about it. That a transition for you guys to know what we talk about and what we teach. Since I'm a trainer, I'll teach you a little bit today. But one of the things that we talk about is the definition of transition and understanding what a transition is. And you all experience transitions, but a transition is change in the initiating event, but the transition is your experience of adjustment to that change. And transition is the inner reorientation and the self-redefinition that you have to go through in order to incorporate any change into your life. And so one of my favorite illustrations that we use during review is this transition bridge. My favorite part is when you're in the middle of a transition, you're just in chaos. I like that one. And I've already heard of a couple of things this morning of transitions that you as a church are experiencing. I see a new baby back there. That's an old normal going to a new normal. And what are some other transitions that go on in your church? Let's have a little bit of teaching. What are some other transitions going on?
For leaders and new missions people.
New people for the missions committee. What other transitions are going on? Yell it out. We can learn together.
Interactive. Some of us are getting old.
Oh, yeah? Some of us is getting old? Yeah? Some could be almost graduating high school. Yeah? So babies, marriage, all those sorts of things.
Baptism,
that's a change for sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's a transition. And so what we help missionaries understand is help them walk through a little bit on how to navigate this middle process of a transition. Because you're in your old normal, either they're transitioning from a country that they were in and they're going to a new normal, but our place of maximum growth within that transition is in that middle place. It's in those changes. And if you try to jump over from old to new, you miss the changes and the growth that get to happen. So that's my little bit of teaching. Oops, I clicked it too many times. Okay, there we go.
This is another thing that I'm involved with. So alongside working in the MAF office, I also fly for a company called Latitude Air Ambulance. I just can't sit behind a desk 5 days a week. I'm sorry. It's not how God made me. So I was sharing with one church in Montreal, and I was telling them stories about flying and everything, and then the one guy said, "You've seen that movie Chariots of Fire?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That guy, who when he runs, he feels God's pleasure. He's like, when you tell your flying stories, it's like you can see that you feel God's pleasure when you do that." I said, "That's exactly it." So anyway, so I fly for Latitude Air Ambulance, and what's neat about this company is that there's four of us, former MAF pilots, who fly there. Some of them were serving in Indonesia, Papua, Papua New Guinea, others of us in Africa. One guy was in Mongolia, and we transitioned back from the mission field and are flying for this company, and we do air ambulance flying, like your STARS here in Alberta, Alberta Health Services, those kinds of things, transporting people from hospital to hospital. So it's still really awesome, life-saving work, and we're happy to be a part of it. And there's also people that have graduated from PETC, the flight school in Three Hills, and don't quite feel called to the mission field, but want to serve. And so they're flying with us as well. So we have a great gang of Christian pilots who are really fun to hang out with. And we also prepare those pilots. Some of them do want to go with MAF, so they fly with me. They're co-pilots. I'm a captain. And I train them on how to fly with the company, but I'm also teaching them and telling them about what it's like flying with MAF, which is a little bit different than your average pilot job. So once they get enough experience, then we send them over to MAF, and then they fly overseas there. So this was an event that we had at the Hamilton Airport, where I'm based out of. And even though the owners of this company are not Christian, the CEO says he lets us hit him over the head with a Bible every now and then. They really love missionaries and MAF pilots and hiring Christian guys because we work hard, we have a desire to serve, and we have compassion for those we're helping. So he and the other owners host this fundraiser for MAF which brings in hundreds of people, and this was to help fundraise for a hangar they're trying to build, actually, in Three Hills. And so it's just a really neat networking kind of a story that, God uses, even unbelievers, to help host fundraisers. Another part of being a pilot is I get to travel. So this is me on a flight, and the guy on the left, his name is Pierre, and he called the MAF office. He's a young guy just finishing his pilot's license and wants to join MAF. And the only people that speak French in the home office are Jocelyn and myself. So I ended up chatting with him, and he lives in Ottawa, well, actually on the French side, in Ottawa. And so MAF said, hey, let's figure out where this guy is at. MAF is very hard to get into. There's both the technical side of things, that you have to be a very good, qualified, and skilled pilot. We're flying single-engine, single-airplane, single-pilot airplanes into some of the most dangerous airstrips in the world. So there's a very high technical standard that we have, but we also have a spiritual aspect and standard as well. And so we need to evaluate both sides of that when we're taking on new candidates. So I didn't know Pierre from anything, and I learned about his technical flying. I chatted with him on the phone quite a bit. And so I wanted to put him in touch with the people in the middle, are Alan and Judy Hack. And they were pastors in Quebec City when we first went to learn French there. So after our fundraising tour in 2010, I guess, or 11, we went to Quebec City for about 8 months to learn French, which we spoke in the Congo. And now Alan and Judy live in Ottawa. So I called up Alan after, I mean, we stay in touch, but I said, hey, would you mind going and having a coffee with Pierre and seeing where his spiritual life is at, where he's on in his walk with Jesus? And so it's just amazing to see God work all those things together. Then I happened to be there on a flight, and we all had dinner together with them, and it was just a really great time. That's part of what I do with MAF. Oh, yeah, this one. This was in Winnipeg. Again, I get to fly around, and it's awesome. And the couple on the left is Randy and his wife, Ruth. And we were, remember I mentioned the airstrip that Rui and I were trying to get built in Angola? Well, we have a, MAF has a bulldozer that I think was donated 15, 20 years ago and has been based in Angola. There's a skid steer there as well and some equipment. The bulldozer sat for about 5 years just collecting rust. And you guys who run equipment know that if it's something sits for 5 years, it's going to take a lot of work to get her going. So we sent, Randy is one of five volunteers that we sent over to Angola to work on this runway, get the bulldozer running. For starters, that took a few weeks just to get it going, and then to make way of the land to make an airstrip. And Randy is just a regular business, construction, farming type guy who's using his skills for the Lord. Sound familiar for some of the guys around here? So if you want to build an airstrip, I might have a job for you. And then I happened to be in Winnipeg, and he came out with his wife to the airplane to say hi. On the right side of me there is Dylan Fast. He's the owner of the company Fast Air in Winnipeg, and another great organization where a bunch of former MAF pilots fly. And I just had dinner actually 2 days ago with some of my MAF colleagues who now fly with Fast Air. And Dylan is the owner, and he is also a huge supporter of MAF, not just with his money and prayers, but with his skills as well. He has ferried at least one or two handfuls of airplanes over and around the oceans and around the world for MAF. The one most recently purchased was, I found it online in Florida, and it was a just used airplane. It was about 12 hours old. So God brought this brand new airplane that was much less money than a brand new one. And we were able to buy that and send it to Idaho, to our headquarters there, to retrofit it for some MAF mods. And then Dylan hopped in and flew it to Angola, Africa, and landed on the airstrip that Rui and I helped coordinate, which Randy helped build. So it was a really cool story. And that's the airstrip right there, when the Cessna Caravan that Dylan flew over landed for the first time.
So as you can tell, as much as Nick flies and makes connections between physical locations, he also makes connections in his brain between people and how to bring people together and do all these things, which is really, really cool. Another opportunity that we really appreciate being here in Canada is being able to support missionaries who are still actively on the field. So this is us just doing some hospitality at our house. This is a really neat couple because they joined MAF at the same time as us, and we were able to love and support on them when they were coming through the office. So they come through the office for meetings, and then I get to often steal them away for dinner at nighttime and be able to have some more conversations. So, and then this was another great opportunity. So Emily, who's the young lady there, is a single missionary in Congo who we would consider an extra bonus aunt to our kids who we lived with from time to time. Her parents are also Mission Aviation Fellowship missionaries. But when she comes on home assignment, she doesn't necessarily always have a great place to land that will provide her a lot of rest because her parents were overseas, her family's scattered all over the States. So this year we got to, she got to stay with us and she came and did her respite portion of her home assignment. And she just came and she asked me to coach her, to do some debriefing with her while she was there. So that was a really great opportunity for us to be able to, encourage and to minister her.
Here's another, I do get to fly. I don't just get to talk to people. This is a friend of mine, John Bouquet, and he married an MAF missionary kid, and what do they want to do? Go be MAF pilots overseas. So this is his Cessna 182, and we went and took it to a grass airstrip. I think in the next shot is some of the spots we took it to. And he is a Learjet captain, and like I said, flying MAF airplanes to small little airstrips like this is not quite like flying a Learjet from Toronto to New York. So it's a different skill set. So even though John is a captain and flies all around the world in a Learjet with Latitude, who we both fly for, we have to hone his bush piloting skills a little bit. So he and some family members went together and bought the Cessna 182, and he and I go flying whenever we can, once a month or something like that, and we go practice some takeoffs and landings and aborts and emergencies, and I make him close his eyes and try to get him lost and then tell him to open them up and get us back home and all that kind of fun stuff. I think the next shot, yeah. Part of our gallivanting around in his old airplane, and you can see it's not very fancy on the inside because we don't want fancy instruments. We want to make sure that he can get around with a compass and a map. So this youngster on the right side is a young guy named Jackson. I think he's about 12 or 13, and he also has aspirations of being an MAF pilot. So we start really young, and we got him up, and that was his first time ever in an airplane, and he was grinning from ear to ear for about a week after that, I think. After we landed, there was another youngster that came and met us where we landed in Guelph, and he was also the same age, and showed him the airplane, and he's been studying airplanes. He knows more about airplane engines than I ever have. He's just a real keen guy and also wants to be a missionary pilot. He's already got his whole plan set out. So it's just really neat to work with guys all from the spectrum of 13-year-olds to Learjet captains and see that God has placed a call in their lives and try to help them move along that path.
And so as we... Oops. My phone for now. It still works. Yay. So as we, as you can see, transition's a bit of a theme for us and being able to help take people from where they are to where God is taking them and for us to be a little bit in that process. And we can see similarly in Acts 10:1-8, the Bible says that at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion that was known at the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household, and he gave alms generously to the people and prayed continuously to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision of an angel of God who had come in to say to him, Cornelius, and he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He would be lodging with one Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. When the angel spoke to him, had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among them who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. An interesting thing about this story is that this is the start. God has called not only Cornelius, but Peter. And he's calling him into a big transition because God's getting ready. This initiation was God getting ready for a big change in the kingdom. Up until this point, it was only Jews who made up the church. And Cornelius wasn't a Jew. And God sent an angel to him and said, go to Simon Peter. And so Peter wasn't necessarily ready for this. He wasn't ready for the changes. His life, I think, in following Christ had been change after change after change. Maybe he was hoping just to sit down and settle for a little while. But sometimes change and transition happens whether we want it or not. And our willing participation predicts how well we handle and how well we're able to go through those transitions. And it is emotionally and mentally challenging. And so God sent an angel instructing Cornelius to summon Peter. And Cornelius' response was what? Did anybody hear what the word was? Terror. And he had faced battles, but an angel coming to your door can be intimidating. And so it's a neat, what I also enjoy about this story is that God called somebody within this transition. God knew that this was going to be a big transition, and he called Cornelius to partner with Peter. And Cornelius was a soldier, a centurion, in command of 100 men, and a Gentile. And God picked him to transition Peter through a big church change. And not just a teacher, not a doctor, but a soldier. The first Gentile Christ follower. And so it's really neat. One of the things that we talk about during transitions, and one of the things that we did in review, is the kids make a physical transition bridge out of three-legged stools and exercise balls all taped together, and they have to rope themselves together because you're not going through a transition alone. You're usually going through with a family. And then we ask them to sort of walk over this unsteady step. And then once they get to the middle, that middle of chaos, we have the rest of the missionaries come around and help them over. And so one of the things that I would encourage, or my encouragement to you today, whether you're in a place of change or maybe you're in a place of stability, able to support those in a place of transition, that we have always been so blessed by this community, and we love coming here each time, and by your support and love throughout all of our transitions. But also, missionary transitions may sound big, but another person's transition, just because it maybe looks smaller, doesn't mean it's any less hard. And so just to encourage you to find people to come alongside you, and for those to come alongside others. And this picture is fun because both in our candidate orientation, when we bring on new missionaries, and also in review when we are transitioning missionaries from their current location, we always end with a teaching on celebration. Because regardless of what you're going through, there's going to be hard times. And if you just hope that if you just wait to celebrate until it's all over and done with, you're going to be exhausted by the time you get there. And so it's a reminder that Jesus and God lots of times gave lots of examples and places encouraging us to celebrate and celebrate the little things. So this was our last candidate orientation class at MAF, where we have a family and a single missionary pilot who will be joining MAF, and we celebrate them completing the end of the week. And it's good to celebrate those things. As the psalm says in Psalm 118, starting in verse 7, the Lord is my helper, therefore I will look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in nobles. All the nations surround me. In the name of Yahweh, I destroyed them. They destroyed me, yes, they surrounded me. In the name of Yahweh, I destroyed them. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished like fire among thorns. In the name of Yahweh, I destroyed them. You pushed me hard to make me fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. There are shouts of joy and victory in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. The Lord's right hand is raised. The Lord, I will not die. I will live. I will proclaim to the Lord what the Lord has done. The Lord disciplined me and severely and did not give me over to death. He opened the gates of righteousness for me. I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteousness will enter through it. I will give thanks to you because you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord in its wonderful eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I love that piece of that psalm because it shows that it's not all easy. As we go through transitions and difficult things in our life, it's not all going to look pretty. But having those partners and making sure that we are praising God and celebrating each of those things, that He keeps our hearts light and lets us lighten those yokes, not putting more yokes upon ourselves, but letting God take those things as we transition, as we go through life. Because life, I think, from beginning to end is a continuous transition. So, did you say anything and pray?
Yeah. I think praying would be great. Let's pray. God, all the changes in our life, and you are the God who never changes. You are the solid rock. You are the cornerstone. Amen. Praise be to you, Lord. And thank you for your believers here in Westlock. Thank you for your believers and brothers and sisters scattered all throughout the world, and some of them dealing with hardships we can't even understand, but yet each and every one of us dealing with our own struggles, God. And we learned this morning that you are with us, that we have to get from one side to the other over the chaos, that you are the solid ground we're getting to, that we have partners and friends and this vast network that is so much more valuable than airplanes, God. Airplanes are tools we use, but you use people, and we praise you for that honor and that privilege to be used and utilized by you and your kingdom to show your love to all those around us. May we love you and love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.